Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Agenda for last month, Mr. Chair, under Roman numeral 2, introductions and recognitions, the first paragraph, I'd request that the last sentence of that first paragraph be changed to read, Dr. Meadows acknowledged her leadership with Achieve Escambia and welcomed her to PSC, and then add the following sentence, Mr. Smith noted that he had seen Ms. Noel appear on WSRE in January of 2025. I think that would accurately reflect what happened at the I do have a lot more to say on this, but I'm happy to hold that till later in the meeting. That would be
I know there's no context here for you, but this is Zach Smith, the man who works with the Heritage Foundation, who has been one of the key activists involved in trying to make it seem like the Sanger Theater drag queen Christmas is some massive national issue, writing pieces for the Daily Signal, which is the Heritage Foundation's online arm. And this is at the board meeting for the Pensacola State College Board of Trustees. He is a board member, a trustee at both PSC and at UWF. And he was the one that primarily led the effort to oust Martha Saunders at UWF. He's one of DeSantis's, well, let's just say people. and everywhere I turn and Zach Smith is participating, there's trouble and drama. What did we talk about yesterday, John? Being restrained? Saying less than you want to say?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've been proud of you so far.
Thank you. So, in this particular context, he's looking over the minutes of the previous meeting, and he's saying, excuse me, I raised some concerns about this person, and I do not see my concerns reflected in the minutes. Now, on the one hand, that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do when you make a point and you don't see your point reflected in the minutes. On the other hand, for the 0.3 of all citizens who go back and read the minutes for the PSC Board of Trustees agendas, you kind of wonder, who is he trying to show off for? Maybe just making sure the record is accurate. You know, that's fine. But also, it's a little bit of a, excuse me. I would like this in the record. And I say it that way because that's not actually his voice, but it sort of feels that way all the time. And then we come back to this. What happened with Martha Saunders? Raising some more questions, making some allegations, and then she's out. And then we got Manny Diaz in, right? Which, I don't have any problem with Manny Diaz. He seems like a perfectly capable person. We've talked to him a couple of times, okay? I've had him on the air here. But did you know that that was just part one of the agenda, you might say? Well, here comes part two.
I do want to circle back, if I may, Mr. Chair, to the minutes from the last meeting. I think I indicated I would have some further comments. And I know we've been going for a while this evening, so I won't belabor the point or be long.
By the way, that the early quote was from the beginning. This is at the end of the meeting, just so you know. I've removed all the stuff in the middle you don't care about.
In my comments, obviously, I appreciate all the good that Dr. Meadows has done for the community. I think we've seen that on display here today. But to be frank, last week, Dr. Meadows and I have had some difficult conversation. And I do think there are certain areas of the college where Dr. Meadows has not been providing adequate oversight.
Was it Michelle Salzman?
What, the Florida?
So now Zach Smith isn't happy with Ed Meadows either? Look, I've only lived here 11 years, but I think I'm not overstating the case when I say that this community loved Martha Saunders. And by the way, she took over after a leader at UWF and Judy Bentz that the community loved. And they orchestrated the ouster of her because they had this sudden majority when DeSantis came in and filled a bunch of positions on that board. There are vacant positions on the PSC board, by the way. I think there's three of them, if I'm not mistaken. And now you've got the hitman, the designee. Is now raising questions about Ed Meadows? Are you nuts?
For instance, several times since I've joined the board, there have been certain actions that are required by the board, by either Florida statute, regulations, or the college's own procedures that have not occurred in a timely manner until it was pointed out to Dr. Meadows that those things were not done. And then I do have concern that there is a lack of oversight in terms of making sure that the college is complying with the state's requirements to make sure that we're not expending funds on any prohibited DEI expenditures.
Oh, it's the DEI. The anti-DEI. I've got my handbook. I've got my list. I've been looking things over. I've been reading websites, and I've got the evidence. I'm going to prove to you that Ed Meadows is also a corrupt agent of the evil DEI. You just wait. I'll show you. Back to this in a moment. John Pickens has got traffic on the five. John?
Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. No accidents to report to you right now. And we're seeing I-10, I-110, Highway 90, Highway 29 all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So what are these horrid violations of state law? This negligence in properly maintaining strict adherence to the new anti-DEI code of orthodoxy? Well, Zach Smith is going to tell us.
Dr. Meadows and I had a conversation, several conversations last week, in fact, about the new executive director of workforce and continuing education. And certainly, Dr. Meadows is entitled to hire who he sees fit, and anyone who works for the college is entitled to express their own opinions on their own time. But as representatives of the college, I think it's important to understand that certain actions as a representative of the college cannot be taken.
Now, we're going to come back to that in a second. I just want you to keep in mind that he's got another person in mind that he's getting ready to lay out for public flaying as he's trying to get at Ed Meadows, whatever evidence of corruption or collusion or participation in the have you now or have you ever been a member of the DEI party, which is kind of where we're getting to on this kind of modern political McCarthyism that I see being charged by primarily Zach Smith and perhaps others, but he's the one that I hear it from at UWF or heard from at UWF, and now I'm hearing it from him at PSC, same thing.
And one of the things Dr. Meadows and I had a chance to talk about was his involvement in Achieve Escambia. And certainly I think we can all generally support the goal of Achieve Escambia to make sure that there is adequate educational opportunities for all children in our community. But Dr. Meadows, since he serves on the board, since the Achieve Escambia group has offices on Pensacola State's campus, since Dr. Meadows has used college resources and time to further that goal, we had a conversation about some of the goals that were on Achieve Escambia's own website.
So you're affiliated with Achieve Escambia. You're a board member there. You've allowed them to use PSC meeting rooms. This is a part of your official duties, and
a chance to visit the website. On the front page, it talks about their collective impact partnership. They said, quote, "We see equity as the recognition that the barriers marginalized people face are due to deliberate actions and biases, and therefore require us to dedicate a greater amount of resources to dismantle them." They go on to say they'll challenge the status quo and create lasting change. On a different page, on Achieve Escambia, bold letters, they have a section highlighted equity and collective impact at the center. And they talk about their commitment to using DEI principles to equip people with knowledge and mindsets to change systems and outcomes for their programs, services, and organizations. And there was much more to the conversation that Dr. Meadows and I had.
So he's unhappy about Ed Meadows' failure to purge the Achieve Escambia website of unacceptable heresies involving DEI statements and phrases, which in some ways is okay. But in other ways is, you know, like all of education was oriented around this until DeSantis. And so people who use these words, use these phrases, had this on the websites anything education related, they had to, otherwise they weren't going to get grant money. Does that mean that it's at their core rooted in the idea that America is an evil place, that we have to, we're all, you know, institutional race? No, it's just, anyway, so back to Ed Meadows and Zach Smith, again, crusading, I think trying to lay the groundwork for trying to oust Ed Meadows. I don't see it any other way. There's no other reason he'd be bringing this up, because if he went to Ed and he said, oh, you know, hey, we had this conversation about Chief Escambia and, you know, and the website stuff, and he fixed the website, why would you bother bringing it up at the trustees meeting? I mean, you know, the Bible says if somebody does something wrong, you go to them, you talk to them. If they fix it, we're done. If they won't do it, you bring a couple of people there, and then if they don't do it, then you bring it for the whole congregation. Well, if he went to Ed and talked to him about it, and Ed's like, all right, I'll fix that, and he does, why do you need to bring that in front of the whole board? What possible purpose would you have for bringing that up? Except for, A, look at me, look at what I did. I'll be reporting to the governor here soon. And B, I don't know if we can have this Ed Meadows fellow anymore.
One of the concerns I had with this specific hire is in her previous position.
This is the other person he was talking about. And I'll tell you who it is. He already named her briefly, but I'll tell you who it is in a second.
One of the concerns I had with this specific hire is in her previous position. She has talked about, appeared publicly, in fact, appeared on a program at WSRE, talking about her commitment to implementing DEI policies in every aspect of her life, her job, and using her organization at Achieve Escambia to pursue those policies further. And so I have talked to Dr. Meadows. I would hope that there is some type of formalized instruction being provided to new hires to make sure that that does not continue.
She was on WSRE. She said things one time on WSRE that were DEI related. And now you've hired her for a position inside the workforce and continuing education as the associate director? How dare you, sir? We need to have some remedial education so we don't get any more of these heretics inside the administration.
To Dr. Meadows' credit, I had a chance to review the Achieve Escambia website this morning. It looks like the equity language has since been removed since that was called to his attention. But I would certainly appreciate Dr. Meadows being more proactive to be sure that we are steering far clear of any violations. He has told me he will pursue that. I appreciate that. I look forward to continue working.
But I want to let you all know, this is what's going on. I found some boilerplate on some old websites, and I made Ed Meadows fix it. And I found an employee that has some concerning leanings toward this stuff that we all hate. And he named her briefly, and he told her what her position was. The position is Continuing Workforce Education Executive Director, Corporate Training and Continuing Education. I was curious, because he wasn't coming out and saying her name. And so I was curious who this was. It's Ruthie Noel, Ruthie Christie Noel. Ruthie used to host Pep Talk about a year, maybe 2 years. So she did the show that Meg now does. And Ruthie is one of the best people that I know. Like, she's a Pensacola gem. She's smart. She's sweet. She's caring. She's diligent. She's a hard worker. Like, I can't even imagine finding a person who doesn't like her and doesn't respect her. But apparently Zach Smith has got a problem with Ruthie Noel. Apparently he thinks she's a dangerous influence and needs to be, you know, re-educated about the real mission of the college and state law and all of this. And apparently she was also on in an organization that had equity in the name, that involve like Julian McQueen and Lusharon Wiley, people who are also like pillars of the community, some of the best people we have here. And I'll just put it this way. If after putting the notch on his, I don't know, agenda to get rid of Martha Saunders at UWF, Zach Smith is now coming for Ed Meadows and Ruthie Noel. We have people in this community who are not down the line, right Republican conservatives who are some of the best people in this community, who, if they don't do the work that they're doing, this community falls apart. I don't know what Ed's leanings are politically. I don't know what Ruthie's leanings are. I don't care. I know they do fantastic work. And if Zach Smith has a problem with them, the problem is Zach Smith. And this, like I said, kind of McCarthyist approach of, well, you said this one time on WSRE. Are you kidding me? Listen, there's not a lot of people I will say this of. If I died and my wife, if we died horribly and in some car crash, and Ruthie was available to be the designated parent, you know, guardian for them, awesome. Let's just say there are other people I would not say that of. You know what I'm saying? John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. Keep an eye on this.
I'll volunteer for you, bro. That way you don't have to worry about it. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110, it's all flowing smoothly. No delays either. Good job. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Staying healthy after 65 just got easier with Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. This means more time with your care team and appointments, more focus on your health needs, plus daily group activities and access to an on-site fitness center. Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. Accepting patients at 9 Mile Road with a new location on Mobile Highway now open. Visit Ochsner.org/65plus-Pensacola.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com. Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Seems like there's more identity theft in the news every day.
Another major healthcare breach was reported today, resulting in the exposure of
several consumers have been a victim of identity.
That's because there are endless places that could accidentally expose you to identity theft in a breach or simply by mistake. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it, guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 6:29 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John, that sound effect came from what game? All right, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. Right, David.
Listen, I was singing the song in my brain.
It's Tank Battle.
Oh, okay.
All right. Go ahead, David.
All right. Well, Rihanna and ASAP Rocky have apparently welcomed their first daughter.
I believe you say that $$AP Rocky.
I have no idea. I'm not in the scene. The superstars confirmed on social media. The new baby's name is Rocky Irish Mayers. So there you go.
Okay. Money.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump blames what he calls radical left terrorists for a shooting in an ICE facility in Dallas, killing one migrant in a van with two others in critical condition.
29-year-old Joshua John has been identified as the shooter. Officials say he fired dozens of rounds from the rooftop of a nearby building. Anti-ICE messages were found on rounds near him. ICE said bullets were pretty much sprayed everywhere. They were found in and around this entire facility.
Fox's Brooke Taylor in Dallas. The White House tells federal agencies to prepare for mass layoffs if there's a government shutdown next week.
Agencies were told to identify programs that'll lose funding October 1st. Workers wouldn't just be furloughed for however long a shutdown may last. They'd be gone permanently.
Fox's Jill Nato. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is, right now, we've got partly cloudy skies, 76 degrees here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. But first, our news headlines today. A man that worked for the Escambia County School District accused of drug trafficking, Kendrick Johnson, was arrested yesterday. He worked as a coach for Escambia County Public Schools. The district tells Channel 3 that the allegations are reprehensible and the employee was fired immediately once they learned of the charges. A 60-year-old bicyclist in critical condition after a crash on Davis Highway. FHP says the bicycle was hit from behind by an SUV in the inside southbound lane. The rider was taken to the hospital with critical injuries. The governor wants to make Florida a beacon of hope for cancer research. Ron DeSantis in Tampa yesterday announcing $60 million in funding for cancer research.
Since 2019, we in the state of Florida have invested more than $1 billion in cancer research and treatment.
And the money is from the Florida Cancer Innovation Fund. It'll focus on how nutrition can prevent or treat cancer. The governor making that announcement yesterday at USF to mark the Department of Health's World Cancer Research Day. He says investing in innovation today could mean saving lives tomorrow. Well, getting the COVID-19 vaccine is apparently a little bit easier. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this story.
The Florida Board of Pharmacy confirmed on Tuesday pharmacists in the state can provide the COVID-19 vaccines to patients. The board cited a state law that allows pharmacists to administer vaccines that are approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Board members said COVID-19 vaccines fall under that category. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Florida Surgeon General siding with the Trump administration when it comes to Tylenol use in pregnant women, potentially contributing to autism in kids.
Not all the studies find that, but some of the studies do find that, and some of those studies are very good. So I think that their recommendation is the right place to be in terms of discouraging its use.
And Dr. Joseph Latipo there, he believes that decisions should be made with the expectant mother's doctor. He did note that fever in pregnant women can also be quite dangerous. Rick Scott backing a bill that he says would ban the mutilations. Scott announcing his support yesterday for the Chloe Cole Act, which he says would officially prohibit the mutilation of kids under the disguise of gender ideology. The bill would allow those who detransition to sue medical professionals who violated their trust and caused long-term harm. Scott said it's sickening that any child would be subjected to dangerous life-altering procedures that they're too young to understand or to fully consent to. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Just a little advisory. If you are on, Scenic Highway and Davis Highway, they've got construction in that area, so just be careful. I'm not seeing any delays around that. The rest of I-10, I-110 are rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We do have a wet day in store for us today. 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. For Friday, 40% chance of rain in the morning, then clearing out in the afternoon, high near 86. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Going into Saturday, beautiful and sunny weather with a high near 87. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, we've got 76 degrees. Your next news at 7 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields held steady this morning as investors awaited the latest weekly jobless claims data and monitored the state of the U.S. economy. The 10-year Treasury yield was down less than one basis point at 4.141%, while the 2-year Treasury yield was marginally higher at 3.601%. Walmart is partnering with the Spanish soccer league La Liga and will be the first ever presenting partner of El Clásico, a marquee rivalry match between powerhouse teams FC Barcelona and Real Madrid CF. The partnership aims to grow the American soccer fan base through large-scale viewing events. The NFL's Finance Committee has approved the sale of nearly 2.4% of the Chicago Bears to existing owners of the team in a deal that sets a league record and values the Bears at $8.9 billion. CNBC reports the deal closed several days ago. Futures are slightly lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 171. That's Your Money Now.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, and because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Lexus, BMW, Jaguar.
Where is the best place to take your vehicle for service and repair? That, my friend, is Matrix Auto Service, the future of auto service.
Porsche, Mercedes, Land Rover.
Their expert technicians provide top-notch service and repairs to all makes and models. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction with their number one goal, getting you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Looking at the market demographics, having close to 200,000 people here within the county, we typically find that you need about 6 to 8 lanes of pool space for every 25 to 50,000 residents. And so what that would give you would be with 100,000 residents, that's about a 50-meter Olympic-size pool. And so that would be about 24 lanes, 22 to 24 lanes, depending on the width of the pool. And so we look at the demographics to show that there is a strong base that could support the utilization of a outdoor aquatic facility.
This is George Dinas, I think is how you say his name, Dinas or Dinas, I forget. I heard him say it and then I promptly forgot the pronunciation. He's working with BDI, Baskerville Donovan, and he was presenting information to the Santa Rosa County Committee meeting on Monday, talking about the prospect of developing an aquatic center, which has been, you know, they did this kind of survey research outreach to see what people wanted, kind of what were they interested in, how positive were they on it. And, you know, the results of that were everybody wants it, like 90%+ of people want it. Of course, you know, when it comes to paying, you know, there's another question, but still, you know, what do they want exactly? Well, there's lots of different things that you can do with a pool, right? Lots of different ways you can develop it.
And so really what we found is that through the survey results, through the population demographics, that there is support for a facility, that the different types of aquatic functions and user groups would give us a facility that had not only lap lanes, but had recreational amenities, as well as programmable space for swimming lessons and water fitness. We could also see having one larger facility and one smaller facility to balance out the different types of
needs, right? Look, South End, North End is the issue here. Because as we all know, and if you don't, it's okay. If I'm telling you something that you hadn't heard before, Santa Rosa County isn't one county, it's two counties. It's the county at the South End, which is Gulf Breeze, Midway, Navarre. And, you know, then it's the county north of the preserve, north of the Eglin Range, north of the Yellow River, whatever, which is, you know, Garson Point, Milton, Pace, all the way up through Jay. Like, that's, it really is like a separate county. I mean, you have to actually cross bridges to get there, you know, and it's type of people, economy, everything is very different. Well, so the problem is if you're building an aquatic center for the, what are we at, 172? No, it's over 200, right? 200,000? 200,000 people. Well, the problem is, where do you put it? Where you really want it is in the South End. But then what does the dude in Pace have a use for that? You're not going to cross the Garson Point Bridge to go drive down to Midway to go use it, right? I mean, you might, but it's kind of a big commitment. So you kind of want one in both places. Well, now you're talking about, you know, two centers or, you know, a center and a half, you know, one that's going to be like the competition space and one that's going to be like the recreational space. I mean, if they get a pool, we ought to get a pool, and they got a big pool, we ought to get at least a little pool. You know, you got, that's kind of where you're at. If you're going to sell this to the whole county, you got to give the whole county something that they want. So cost.
For the 50-meter plus the recreation pool, we've estimated the construction cost at about $21.5 million. So that gives the total project cost about $27.9 million. And then the smaller facility was roughly $11.3 million in construction, and the total project cost would be $14.6 million. And so the construction cost would be what the general contractor would submit a bid on, and then the project cost is inclusive of the rest of those fees.
All right, so $28 million for the big facility in the south end, $14 million for the medium for smaller facility in the north end. So you're talking a total cost of in the 40, 42 kind of vicinity is what they're looking at. I go on the air to brag about how I'm restrained, and then I'm like, oh, great, I got to live up to that now. Because I still want to say stuff.
Yes, you do.
I mean, I don't even know why Santa Rosa County would be thinking about buying a giant pool that nobody else has anything like that when they could instead buy, I don't know, AstroTurf soccer field or baseball
and football fields.
Baseball and softball fields that,
you know, kids use all the time.
That are already in use in another fashion. I'm sorry. Slapping myself on the hand. Bad, Andrew. All right.
John Pickens. You need time out. I do.
John Pickens has got traffic on the I actually, you know what? What? To their credit, Pensacola Sports sent me the follow-up information I'd asked for about the turf fields. And, you know, I had basically forwarded them to somebody else whose opinion I'd trust. And I think there are some fairly optimistic assumptions built in there. But I don't consider myself an accountant level enough to analyze it all. But I have concerns about the model. But the numbers they were using do say what they say they say. I don't know if this thing on 9 Mile is actually going to pan out the way they want it to, but, you know, they didn't just make it up out of thin air, okay? So I did look at it. I don't know that I'm persuaded yet, but I wanted to acknowledge to you and to them that, you know, they have provided me the information I asked for. And, okay. John, you looked at it?
Oh, yes.
Your thoughts?
They're being very, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah.
Which, to reality. Which maybe it works out.
I hope so. I pray.
I don't want to spend $25 million and not have it work out.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently, that's what we're going to do. Anyway, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
All right. No accidents to report to you right now. Not seeing any slowdowns either on Highway 90, 98, or Highway 29 is looking good also. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. All right, back to the Aquatic Center that the Santa Rosa County Commission is going to take up today, along with other things. By the way, there's some disagreement about whether they're actually going to vote on the bridge toll thing. Brad Baker told us on Monday or on Tuesday that they're not doing that today, that's going to wait for an October presentation. Even though I know it's listed, that's what I expect to have happen. I expect that project to be not dealt with today. And I hope that's correct. But I know other people, particularly some of my dear friends in the media, are convinced it's the other way around, that it's on today. So I'm just telling you there's some, but I mean, I've never known Brad Baker to mislead me about anything, so I'd be very surprised if that's actually something they deal with today. Anyway, back to George Dinas, who was talking about the Aquatic Center for Santa Rosa County. Not just upfront costs, but ongoing costs for operation, obviously, are an issue. Whenever you're, I mean, you know, an aquatic center or a swim facility is, it's a public park, right? You know, we got Benny Russell Park. It's a nice park, but we're having to replace the playground equipment because it's extremely used and it's extremely dilapidated. You know, a swimming center or a golf course is, you know, these are public parks and they're going to cost money to build and they're going to cost money to operate. Okay. And they don't always revenue a lot. Depends on what it is. You know, Roger Scott, revenues some. Does it cover its costs? I don't think so. But it's because it's provided as a service to the community. You know, it just different things work differently and you decide as a community how much it matters to you to invest in something that's available to people or make money from something that's available to people or break even, so forth. Anyway, the cost of these two facilities, large and small, if they wind up doing both.
1.7 for the larger facility, about 900,000 for the smaller facility. But again, the variability there is going to be personnel cost. Utilities stay pretty constant, but the main throttle on operating expenses is going to be personnel costs and just the overall number of hours of operation that the facility is open. So we would definitely probably see this being tweaked and massaged as we continue forward.
Yeah, so 28 up front and one and a half, a little plus one and a half to operate for the big one, 14 up front or about $1 million to operate it ongoing. But that is it open 7 days a week? What are the hours of operation? You know, again, how big is it? Means how many people do you have working there? Do you open some days, limited hours, certain kinds of activities? You know, these are all sort of to be decided, right?
Cost recovery range, we compare revenue to expenses in the 40% range. We usually find that municipal facilities are anywhere from 25% on the low end to maybe 60% on the high end. And so the key ranges and things to consider when looking at cost recovery rate are going to be those hours of operation, your personnel costs, but then also the entrance fee, membership fee, program cost. I work with facilities right now that are charging $27 for a session of swim lessons, and I work with facilities that are charging $150 a session for swimming lessons. And so it really just depends upon your vision on, you know, do you want cost recovery? Do you want affordability? And typically we find communities try to blend the two. So you want some level of cost recovery, but while keeping some affordability.
And this is always the difficult thing about operating a public facility is you want to make it available to as many people as possible. It means keeping the prices down, but you also want to recoup some of the cost because not everybody's using it. And why should everybody have to pay for something that only some people are using? And so, again, he says the sweet spot is to get about 40% of your operating costs covered by the fees that people pay for rental for parties or, you know, competition entrance fees or just get in the door fee for the day or monthly memberships or all the different things that are going to go into making this work. You know, it's a complex calculation and some are very expensive. Like you said, $150 for a swim lesson versus $25 or $70 for a swim lesson. I mean, that's a pretty wide range. Just, you know, also depends on what your community can afford or is willing to pay. These are all difficult things to kind of figure out the details of. Colton Wright, County Commission chairman and, oh, not chairman, sorry, District 5 anyway, talking. He's been one of the primary advocates for this. And, you know, it's going to be located either in or near his district anyway, so.
Initial study and survey was done. It was the highest response rate of any survey the county had ever put forth on anything. It was the highest response rate, and it was overwhelmingly positive. I think that tells us that we're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people want a thing. The question, of course, is going to be how to pay for it, especially at a time when everybody's super focused on things like, you know, roads. You know, and on the one hand, the county is saying we can't afford to really do these big road projects. On the other hand, they're talking about building an aquatic center, and people in Santa Rosa County are already very negative on taxes to begin with. You know, so this is going to be a conversation, but if the numbers are right, then people really, really, really want this stuff. And, you know, that's an important consideration if you're talking about spending this kind of money. Also, sports tourism is a revenue generator, both in terms of for businesses and, you know, heads in beds and putting money into the aquatic center because teams come here to compete. And it's a relatively unique facility compared with a lot of the other things that there are many examples of. You know, there's lots of people with soccer fields. There's lots of people with baseball fields. There's not a lot of big pools around the region.
There are other communities that are thriving on baseball and soccer and football and these traditional stick and ball sports. But what we found is there was a void in the Southeast region for competitive swimming. And this is an issue that's brought to me. There's rarely a week that goes by that I don't have some parent reach out whose child is in high school doing competitive swimming where they don't reach out and say, why don't we have, you know, a competition pool in our region? Because oftentimes they're going all the way to UWF to practice.
Yeah, that's not something. I mean, if they live in Pace, it's fine, right? Maybe, but not if they live in the South End. So, and it would be unique, would be a little bit different. I know a lot of people were frustrated they didn't save the what was the name of the thing on South Side of 98, the one that had been there for a while and then went defunct and is now not been rescued. I just can't think of it. Somebody mentioned it to me yesterday, but John, you can't remember the name of that facility?
No.
I'm going to get 8 texts here in a second telling
Probably.
Me. Sorry. Anyway, you know, no, that did not work out, but we'll see. But that's something they're going to be talking about today. And I mentioned this before in case you're just joining us. Some people are convinced, the club, thank you so much. Somebody texted for the club. Some people are convinced that the discussion today is going to involve the bridge toll question, the $1.5 million being sort of reallocated towards the putting of a toll collection facility on the Navarre Beach Causeway. Brad Baker told us on Tuesday that was not going to be on the agenda today. That will be actually at the next set of meetings in October, or the next meeting in October, the 1 week that they're not doing a committee meeting. So we'll see. I don't believe it'll be on today, but you know, time will tell. It's going to start in about an hour and a half. Anyway, 437-1620, that's my phone number if you want to weigh in on any of this or if you ever have questions about anything, feel free to give me a call. If you have a company, you have employees, you have to deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, you have to manage HR, you have to, you know, do payroll. It's all the stuff that most people don't get into business to do because they don't enjoy it much. Well, guess what? Torgerson Consulting, they do enjoy this. They're quite good at it. They've been doing it for more than 20 years, helping local businesses like yours find the best available. and then service your folks and help them really, you know, get the, you know, good quality customer service, which is what we've gotten here at News Radio in Cat Country for about 4.5 years, working with them, good plans. My wife is a very, well, she's an industrial engineer, so she's very smart. She's detail-oriented, and she often will complain about working with anybody who's like an insurance salesman or anybody in that vicinity, because usually they're salespeople, not detail people, not math people, not, you know, read the plan type people. And she says, no, Torgerson Consulting is awesome. They're great. Thumbs up. I approve of them. It's a very hard gold star to get, and they get it. Anyway, so give them a call, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Starting to see a minor delay on I-10 eastbound right around the construction zone on Highway 29. Let's see here. Highway 90. 98, they're all flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, I did get a quick note in here about the club that it apparently is going to have to be demolished. It's in terrible disrepair, and the private owners didn't really want to sell to the county for whatever reason. So, you know, sometimes things don't work out, even if they seem like an obvious answer.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. Tomorrow at 9, with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What do you know about stock car racing?
Well, watch on television, of course.
You've seen it on television?
ESPN. The coverage is excellent. You'd be surprised at how much you can pick up.
Go down, it's dark. Good morning, 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. William Shatner is not in the hospital. That's despite some recent news reports. The 94-year-old Star Trek actor's agent, Talent Works, confirming Wednesday Shatner's at home, and they say he's doing well, denying claims from TMZ that he had been rushed to a hospital in Los Angeles recently. The White House telling federal agencies to prepare for potential mass firings if a funding bill isn't passed by September 30th. Yesterday, the Office of Management and Budget issued a memo directing agencies to create reduction in force plans, identifying programs that could be cut and permanent job losses. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer slammed the move as being intimidation. President Trump also commenting on the Wednesday ICE facility shooting, calling it despicable in a Truth Social post. The president said, quote, "The brave men and women of ICE are just trying to do their jobs."
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:59 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, you remember the lawsuit that was filed by the folks who were upset that the Reese's Halloween candies that were shaped like bats and pumpkins and on the packaging, it looked like it was going to be very cool-looking designs, and they sued because when they opened it up, it was just a blob of chocolate. It didn't really look like the package at all. A court has dismissed the lawsuit, saying that it basically still tastes fine and just go home. you don't have enough merit here. But they can try again. And apparently they're going to try again.
Listen on air at 92.3. 92-